we're going to be talking now about Reduce Your Use. The Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland and the government have launched the Home Energy Plan as a way for you to save money and, crucially, save pressure on the energy grid this winter. I spoke to Tom Halpin, Head of Communications with the SEAI, and tried to find out what exactly are they telling people to do? What do they want people to do when using their energy in their homes and in their cars, indeed, this winter?
It's actually a combination of both, Jerry. So we want people to have the most efficient houses they can, which means that they will use less energy, but also we want them to use those houses efficiently. So it's hugely important. But what we're talking about at the moment is the Home Energy Plan, which we are launching next week, and which people can sign up for. And the Home Energy Plan will give people really, really solid advice. Now, it's common sense advice, but really solid advice that will allow them to make a big impact on their energy bills in the areas of heating, electricity use in their home, and also in the way they travel, so in their transport bills.
So, just to keep it at home for the time being, what should people be doing? I imagine people have already started moving on this themselves. They're switching off lights. They're I suppose, more conscious than ever of the peak time electricity and trying to move things around that side of things. But what is the SEAI telling them to do?
Well, the first week of the Home Energy Plan focuses on heating, because heating accounts for 60 or maybe even 70% of the energy we use in our home, generally speaking. And with heating, it's all about having the heating on so it's at the right comfort level or temperature, at the right time and in the right places. So what we're asking people to do is, where you have a timer and a thermostat, to make sure you use them. The thermostat should be set to 19 degrees for living areas. That's a perfectly comfortable temperature. And if you turn down your thermostat by a single degree, you can actually save about 10% on your overall heating bill. The timer should be used to make sure the heating comes on when you need it. So probably about 30 minutes before you get up in the morning. Turn it off about 30 minutes before you head out to work or head out with the kids to school. Turn it on about 30 minutes before you get it back into the house, and turn it off about 30 minutes before you go to bed. That means the heating is giving you the maximum value for the time that you're in and occupying the house, and no energy wasted. And the same applies for your immersion heater, the most talked about energy using appliance in an Irish home, where we want people to use a timer. If you don't have a timer, really good investment to put a timer on your immersion heater. Just put it on for half an hour, should be enough, and make sure that the cylinder is really, really well insulated. And that's the package of heating advice. And as you can say, it's a couple of things to bear in mind. Practice those new habits and you'll start to really notice the difference on your bills.
And that heating area is a big concentration on what to do. Are there other things you can do in terms of, like, let's say you're cooking, you're washing? Some families would be flexible on that. Others, because of their, you know, the time the kids come home from school, time dinner has to be done, all those things, won't be as flexible. But can that make you savings if you adjust your usage time periods, if you can?
Yeah. There's a couple of points that you make there, and you mentioned that people are beginning to become more aware of peak time energy use. Now, peak electricity use is a particular thing, and it's a particular challenge for us in Ireland at the moment because of the level of demand that we have. We're all using a lot more electricity than we used to, and we have a capacity constraint. So peak time between the hours of 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and the ESB networks are promoting this at the moment. Try and avoid using electricity during those times. Now, clearly, if a dinner has to be cooked or if a kettle has to be boiled, that's fine. But if you want hot water, sometimes, say, around 5:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, put the immersion on before the peak time and your cylinder will stay hot enough. Don't put on the washing machine during the peak hours, and don't put on the dishwasher during the peak hours, and try and avoid having power showers during peak hours. Now, all of those are about shifting the load away from that peak, because during that peak, we have the greatest constraints on how much electricity we can actually supply, and also the electricity that we generate at that point is generally dirtier and more expensive because of the carbon emissions. So that's about reducing the peak use, Jerry. But the other one is generally looking at, how can I overall reduce the actual amount of electricity I use? So take that same washing machine load. So, okay, you've done the good thing of moving it out of the peak time, and you've moved your shower from outside the peak time. Well, what you can do with both of those is you can actually reduce how much energy you use, even off peak. Shorter showers, particularly any appliance that adds heat, a washing machine, dishwasher, shower, oven, any appliance that adds heat is using a lot of energy. So shorter showers. And with the washing machine, make sure the load, it's a full load. Make sure you use it on whatever eco settings there are. Try and use it on a lower temperature even than what the eco setting says, because the detergents will do the job. And that will all save electricity. Same with with your oven. A lot of people, not everyone, has a split oven, a full oven and a half oven. If all you're doing is grilling or is baking something like roast potatoes or something, use the top oven. You don't have to have a full oven on, and you can just, it makes sense. You're heating twice the space for no good. But actually, if you do need to put the oven on, then use it properly in a way that you might back to cook. So make a larger amount of food and then keep it on for the next day. And you can reheat that in the microwave. Microwave is a super efficient way to reheat food. Much better than the oven.
Much better than the oven, yeah.
Much better than the oven for reheating food. So, Jerry, there's, as I said, and it's probably true what you say, a lot of your listeners probably already doing some of this, but actually what we need to do is just form new habits and think every time. And, you know, it's partly to do with the, as I say, the immersion, it's partly to do with lights, it's partly to do with appliances, but actually it's doing all of these things. It's not enough for us anymore to say, well, I don't leave the lights on anymore. We've actually to do the lights and the appliances and the immersion and the showers and the heating thermostat and the timers. But all of your listeners who take on board the advice, who join the home energy plan that we're running, they will gain the benefit of permanently reduced bills, because no matter, prices might go up and down, but the only guaranteed way to reduce your bills and keep them low is to actually reduce the amount of energy you use.
Yeah.
So reduce the amount of energy you're paying for.
And what then, Tom, is it the transport area that you're looking to focus on, domestic transport area, looking people to look at?
Now, Jerry, a lot of people can tend to think that, oh, sure, I don't use a lot of energy in my home and I don't use a lot of energy in the car. But actually, our homes account for a quarter of Ireland's energy use. And private transport accounts for 20%. So in total, we as individuals, our individual homeowners, motorists, account for 45% of the end use between Ireland's end use between the homes and our cars. In the car, first thing is the most efficient journey you'll ever make is the one you don't make in a car. I know that a lot of your listeners will be rural listeners and therefore will be saying that's a mad idea. But is there short journeys you can walk? Is there short journeys you can cycle? Maybe not, and if not, that's fine. It may not be safe to do so, or the journeys may just be too long. But can you reduce the number of journeys you make? So plan your journeys better. So as you just, instead of maybe going to drop the children off and then an hour later going out to collect the newspaper or whatever, merge your journeys. Even if there's a slight additional distance to go, merging the journeys is good. Can you use public transport? Again, I know the challenge can be that in rural areas, public transport may not always be suitable. But there may be opportunities to use public transport even once a week, where, you know, it doesn't have to be every single journey. But for those people who still find, well, look, I've done everything I can in terms of, I've thought about walking or cycling, I've thought about taking public transport, and I've done everything I can. When you get behind the wheel, you're still in control of an energy-consuming device. They often say that the speed signs on the road are a limit, not a target. And that's never been truer in terms of when you're talking about the amount of energy we use. If you're in a car and you're driving on a stretch of motorway at 120 kilometres an hour, the energy consumption of your car is massively up on if you were driving at 100 kilometres an hour, because you're just defeating wind resistance at that stage. So if you drive at 100 kilometres an hour, you're more relaxed, first of all, so you're not as wired by the time you finish your journey. You won't get there that much later or that much longer in terms of the time it lasts, but you'll save massively on the amount of energy you use. Same in a 100-kilometre zone. Drive at 80. If it's safe to do so, just stay at a slightly lower pace and speed. And then looking at maintenance of the car is hugely important. The serviced car will be more efficient, will be more safe and more reliable, less likely to break down. Tyres, only part of the car that's in touch with the road. Make sure they're properly inflated, because if they're poorly inflated, they actually are less safe to use, but also you're increasing the drag on the car and you're increasing the fuel consumption. So again, like with the house, these might all sound, and I wouldn't be at all surprised, Jerry, if your listeners are sitting back and saying, God, that's all just the normal common sense stuff. That's all we're asking people to do, is stick with the common sense stuff and help everyone else around you to stick with the common sense stuff. If you see a friend or a neighbour or a family member not necessarily doing these things, suggest them not to do it, or even better still, get them to sign up for the Home Energy Plan on our website.
Sure, and that'll be details of that coming during the week. Final point, Tom, the longer term thing here is looking at changing your home. Start planning now, start saving now, so hopefully you won't be in the same situation this time next year. Or you'll be in a better situation in terms of whether it's insulation or creating your own energy source through PV panels or something along those lines.
Yeah, look, the government has stepped up to the plate on this in terms of supporting people with the support for their energy bills. But even more substantially are the grants that are now available for people to upgrade their homes. And you can go about this by doing it step by step with our single upgrades grants, or you can do a big job to a B2 upgrade through the one-stop shop service. But either way, there's very generous grants. And if you have an old 1970s house, a semi-detached in Killarney, or a bungalow down in Dingle, and it hasn't had an upgrade since that time, your walls are leaking heat, your roof is leaking heat, your windows are exuding heat out into the atmosphere, and that's heat that you've paid for. And you're doing no benefit to anyone. You're wasting your money and you're wasting valuable fuel, and you're emitting more than you need to. The grants are available. All the details are on our website. You apply in advance. You have 8 months to do the work, and then you claim the grant. Online system gives you immediate approval if your home hasn't had the works done before, and grants are paid within 2 weeks of you submitting the grant claim form. But that, as you say, Jerry, is the solid, most significant way you can improve your energy performance, is to tackle at that source. An efficient heating system, possibly even renewables, as you say, like a heat pump or solar panels for hot water, insulation on the attic, insulation on the walls, good controls on your heating system, all well worth the investment. And the value of your home will increase massively when you upgrade your home, because high BER rated homes are proving far more attractive in the market. So your home, if you are planning on selling it, your home will sell faster and sell for a higher price.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, listen, thanks very much for talking to us about that today.
Thank you, Jerry.